ओमज्ञानतिमरन्दस्यगणाञ्जलाक्षलाकय चक्षुरुन्मुलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मायं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम् वंशकौपाथरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभयेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवासदेवो भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. So greetings from the Bhakti Center. I'll head today to New Jersey for a day, and then I'll be upstate New York, and then I'll be in the New York area for a while. Again, I'm so far it seems to be working, and I'm following that tact, that the things and realizations that I have during the week are things I can share on the weekend in a succinct way. There's three specific things that are new. One, I gave Bhagavatam class on Vitrasura. I wrote my Monday morning greetings, which was on the Kirtan of the Cowherd Boys. That will come up. And I attended a seminar by Vaisheshika Prabhu. So let me see. I have about 45 minutes today. If I can summarize each three, and maybe they're related. Vaisheshika Prabhu's lecture was very, it's great. It's called Three Keys to Inner Fulfillment. And, you know, Bhurijan Prabhu once mentioned to me that if you can learn one thing in a class, it's a good class. And perhaps, maybe it was a gentlemanly way of expressing his dissatisfaction sometimes with the quality of classes, you know. I mean, everybody should learn how to do that, but and I kind of think, you know, those who paint, paint. Those who cook, cook. So there's a certain extent that, yeah, everyone's a preacher, but, you know, the quality should come up. The people who have depth and realization can share that more readily, because it's nice to empower people, and I'm all for that, but it's also nice that we have a culture where people really are learning things and are affected by others' realizations. So I never took so many notes in one class. It was really good. And, you know, he began with fulfillment, just the concept of fulfillment. And he related it to the word contentment. Of course, fulfillment, right, you know, to be fully filled. the act of being fully filled. And contentment is the content that does that. I thought that's a very brilliant point. And I'm not going to repeat his class because I have my own way of looking at things, but the content that does that, and the content that does that is actually within ourselves. It's our consciousness and how we look at things. One point he made, he said, a spiritual person is more concerned with being than having. So it's the being that satisfies one. It's the being that satisfies one. And what is that satisfaction? That satisfaction is our consciousness, which make that point. It reaches fulfillment in love. So the things that facilitate love are the things that will fulfill us and give us contentment. It's not the things we have. In fact, one becomes satisfied when he says to himself, enough, Whatever I have is enough. We're never satisfied. We always want more. There's always something we don't have. But it's not for love that the things we don't have. It's for our own desires. Of course, I always make this point, don't you get confused. There's a relationship thing with what you have and your contentment. But it's what you need. And generally, we all have our needs to one degree or another. And if we don't, we're living, it's enough. Enough. And there may be things that we don't have, but generally, we're in a lot more anxiety than just that, than just core basic needs. There's other things we want. It has to do with our reputations, you know, our ego, our upgrades. So just that sense of contentment. And as mixing things in, it has a lot to do with the story of Vrijasura, because the part of the Bhagavatam I was featuring on is Indra's response when he sees Vrijasura, his arm was cut off, you know, and he just wanted to die. As he didn't care. His death would be his elevation in spiritual life. And, you know, he was so equipoised in happiness and distress, life and death. And I spoke about that what is a real spiritual person's vision? It's not things, it's consciousness. So when things change, and I always make this point, it comes back to a core point. And I think it's worth. Can you turn that clock around? I just don't like this. It's a point worth repeating. That let me see what it is. Anyway, I forgot the point. I got distracted. But anyway, it's consciousness. And I make the point that it's a question of your faith, and your faith is your goal for happiness. And if your goal for happiness is material happiness means I am happy when the world conforms to my desires, and spiritual happiness is I'm happy when my desires conform to the world or God's destiny or will. And it responds in a particular way out of love. But if you have the goal of material happiness, you can only be fulfilled, or even theoretically fulfilled, if you're the controller. And we're not the controller. So if you're on that platform, you're going to always be affected by happiness and distress. Because the things you have, for sure, you're going to lose. And the things you don't want are going to be in your life to a certain degree. And it doesn't matter how much power you have. And even if someone is completely pious, but there's no spiritual life, then you lose everything at death. So there's a message here. The message of the world is happiness is consciousness. And I'm repeating that again and again. So the three keys to inner fulfillment are the simple things that will I'm saying in my own words, but my analysis of class, the three keys to inner fulfillment are those things that most will facilitate love. And the first one that he presented is appreciation or gratitude. And it's connected with that. Rather than looking at the things you don't have, to appreciate what you do have and get beyond the platform, the material platform of hankering and lamenting, which is directed to the false ego and fortifies the connection to the body and mind, which is the source of all suffering. Prabhupada, in one purport, I don't know where it is now, he said we advance by appreciation. And that's what faith is. Faith is the appreciation in the things that actually can give you happiness. which is something you can have right now. And that's really such a key point. Real happiness you can have right now if the consciousness is changed. And I love the point, in happiness and distress. It's not that there's not distress on a material platform. It's not that there's not challenges. It's not that there's not difficulties. But if you are equipoised, then you're moving to the spiritual platform. And one of the tricks to do that is appreciating. I try to do that myself in some ways, because sometimes I say, oh, I would really like this. I would really like to do this. I'd really like to have this. I wish it was changed the world in a different way so I can be recognized, or I can do this, or I can go there. So there's certain things that I just don't have that others have. But I always look at what I have, enough. And I have plenty. I have plenty. Enough. And that's why against the so this appreciation. And it's the key also to experiencing love. Because our experience of love in this world is mostly mercy. And you don't experience mercy if you don't have gratitude. If you, the opposite of that is the sense of entitlement. So two people getting the same thing, one is experiencing love and one is experiencing envy. Because the person who is humble, he appreciates. He appreciates. And the person who's proud, he doesn't appreciate. This is never enough. And I give the classic example. This is my own example, and therefore I use it many times, is of a spoiled child. Never can experience the parent's love, even though the parents are showering their love on the kid and perhaps giving the child more and more and more. But if it's spoiled, he's entitled. He doesn't have any appreciation. He doesn't experience love. Appreciation is the experience of love. And when I do meditation classes and we lead people through japa and they're feeling something in their heart, I ask them to meditate on that gratitude, what you're feeling because of the holy name. That feeling is the real you. Not the thoughts that are flying from the ego of I want, I don't want, I have, not, I'm anxiety, all those fluctuations, but that genuine feeling of gratitude. Vaishnav prayer is meant to invoke gratitude. Because what prayer does is it glorifies the object of your worship and creates in yourself a mood of humility so you can appreciate it. That's what prayer does. This is so great, I'm so undeserving. And then what happens? You feel gratitude. That's the secret to chanting the holy name. The second and third verses of the Shikshastakam. The second verse is humility. Durdaivam idrisham ihajani nana raja. I don't have humility. I'm so fallen. Then you feel. That's also you'll feel bhakti. As once. Anyway, I went to Janavi's Songs of Devotion. She was speaking, and she made a point that Iendra made. We should cry for Krishna. And someone asked her, what if you don't have that feeling? Then you should cry for Krishna. That's the wonderful thing of bhakti, that our faults can become our strength if they invoke appreciation. appreciation. The holy name is coming. I have no attraction, but the holy name is coming. I'm unqualified. And the last verse, if you are humble, you'll feel mercy. You'll feel love. And then Kirtaniya Siddhartha. Then you'll always chant. So this appreciation. Prabhupada said that even a drunk, he's drinking liquor, and if he thinks the taste is Krishna. The wonder of the world, if we're a little bit in the mode of goodness. And I remember being up in the Himalayas. It's probably a once-in-a-lifetime experience for me, because I just don't like those roads with the mad bus drivers. And you look out the window and you see the buses in the cabin below. I mean, but we stopped in the Himalayas and God's glory and appreciation. Appreciation for Aishwarya and appreciation for Madhurya. We appreciate worthy greatness and we appreciate worthy love, sweetness, the affection of God, appreciating it in our lives, and just meditating in gratitude of what we have. Manushyanam sahasreshu kastid yatati siddhaya. Of thousands and thousands of men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those, hardly one knows the truth. Coming to, I'm so grateful. I remember going in the San Francisco Temple in 1970. And Jayananda was there. And he was preaching to some nuns and laymen about Krishna consciousness. And I can just see his humility and his desire, his appreciation. His appreciation is so profound for what he got. Because of his humility. It was so profound. And therefore his voice in communicating that had so much effect. You can just see his sincerity. We have to be very, very careful about especially as a sannyasi, a guru. You know, you develop a certain expectations. You know, people bring you things and you have a certain room and you get a little, and you should appreciate. And you should appreciate if you don't. I remember in Vrindavan, I didn't have any room starting about 20 years ago. And then I started to get an anxiety. Well, I wish I had an MVT flat. It would be so much. That thought went on for about 3 minutes and I went, no. I'm living in Vrindavan. And whatever I get is mercy. Why do I have to look what I don't have that someone's living better than me? Why don't I see how much better I have it than others by being in Vrindavan? So I had that mood. Now I have my own apartment. I'm completely attached to it. It's so nice. But I know me. I know myself. Even if I lose it, I'll just churn my consciousness. I remember I lived in some nice places. I lived in some holes in the wall, too. And I always had that consciousness, while others had maybe better places to stay, their own place to stay. Appreciation, because it's spiritual. Because what's the lack of appreciation? It's envy. I should have. And that never ends. We see that in the material world. It never ends. It goes on and on and on. It's just endless. It never ends. And you forget that the real happiness is the consciousness. I see people in Vrindavan, they get big houses, they never stay. Because a big house is not happiness. It's what you do in the house. What you do in the house, you can do in a little room. Like there's people in Vrindavan that live simply. Of course, again, practically. Something facilitates your service, it's fine. So, And he made one point that I thought was so beautiful. He said, just flip the switch in the consciousness, I am the servant. And he quoted someone else who said, in any anxiety, just think how you can serve, and your anxiety will be gone. Change your way of looking at it. A God brother of mine told me that his father got stage 4 cancer, and they had to put him in a hospice, but at those days, they didn't call it hospice, so he didn't really know he was going to die. But he had 3 weeks to live, and the mother and the sister told him, please tell Dad. So he came in, he greeted his dad. His father said, you know, am I going to leave this place? And he said, well, not in that body. And he said his father just changed his consciousness. He was very peaceful after that. So it's not what we have, our situation, although they can be very, very trying if it goes against our samskaras, our desires, and people have extremely challenging circumstances. But the secret is contentment, appreciation for being a part and parcel of Krishna, appreciation for being purified, appreciation for our situation, and just turn the switch. I am a servant. I am a servant. And that makes one content in any circumstances. Then he also talked about, he told another story. He said it's from the Bhagavatam, about this small bird. This may relate to the second one I'll tell you. The small bird carried like some piece of flesh, and then the hawk, and two bigger hawks came, and then they wanted to take it, and the smaller bird just let it go. No problem. As I say, let go. That's what it means. Let go. No problem. You have, you don't have. I remember Vidyananda Maharaj once told this story that, you know, in the early days of ISKCON, when I came, you won't even believe this, we didn't have our own clothes. There was a common bin, and someone did all the laundry and then folded it, and then in the morning, and, you know, it's not necessarily to be a kurta left either. You'd be wearing a dhoti with a poncho shirt or Hawaiian shirt or whatever's there. And Vidyananda made the comment, he said, you know, when he was in Boston, he said, the only thing I owned was my bead bag. It was my happiest days. That's the secret to contentment. The second one is unclutter your life. Yeah, just tell her maybe 15 minutes. I think her name, you'll see. It should be. Just say you're waiting for Dhanadhara Swami. It's one of them. Unclutter. And he gave a really interesting example. I mean, unclutter means unclutter your environment, unclutter your mind. And this is also a secret of fulfillment. Contentment. It's the same thing. Atyahara, over collecting. Atihara, extreme eating. It's a metaphor for our control of the world. Is anamoy is the first thing we relate to food. So atyahara, extreme, collecting too much, because when you get more, it just increases your attachment. So you are in the same status, the same consciousness of want. Therefore, Eric Fromm, a German sociologist, he said the real freedom is freedom from want. Someone may have very little and be satisfied. And someone may have a lot and be unsatisfied. So who's in more advantageous position? person has so much, but he just wants to be the president. Or he just wants unlimited this. He just wants unlimited that. He has the same sense of poverty as the person who's poor or more. Because poverty means I am lacking. So it's a relative position. So unclutter your mind, the conscious, you know, cleanliness is the object of sight and the mode of goodness. He read one book where he called clutter visual noise. What is yoga? To stop the mind, control the mind. The mind creates the external affects the internal. And therefore, you made that point. You should think more, not what I have, but what I am. It's so easy in the present world to be affected by clutter our minds. Well, that thought, that is scary thought, that whatever we think of the time of death, to that state we will go. Well, what will we think at the time of death? What is our thoughts at the time of death? When the mind is choked up, when we're all disturbed, it's whatever is our thoughts without direction, because we have no direction at the end of the life. So it's similar to what we dream now. And I mentioned that point before. And we have to be very, very careful, because what comes in goes out, at least in terms of the mind. You create some scars. I remember the saint Ramesh Baba, you know, didn't want to hear anything but Radha and Krishna. Of course, as preachers, we're in the world. We're not living in, but the concept is there. You want to be free? Go on a media fast for a day. So that unclutter the mind, appreciation. And the last one was pay attention. And a very interesting point that our decisions determine our state. So without being attentive, we don't have access to our free will, and we don't have access to changing our destiny. So where you place your attention is so important, because perception, I've made this point, is based on attention. So if you want a mind filled with spiritual things, you have to be attentive to them. If you want realization, some people say there's no taste in japa. Well, you have to be attentive. Then you'll experience Krishna. Without attention, you don't experience something. You may be chanting, but are you hearing? Well, you're not hearing. This morning, when I was chanting my japa, you know, I really became aware. I really have to put my consciousness in hearing. Someone said, listen, you know, you're talking to someone and you don't hear them. And they say, look, listen, pay attention. I told you. My mother used to accuse me of being mother deaf, because she would talk to me, but I wasn't attentive because I wasn't interested. And then there's no benefit in that relationship, whatever relationship you're in, unless you're attentive to that relationship. And a very neat point he made, where attention goes, the mind flows. See, you, so you're concentrated. without interruption over a period of time and the right mood that keeps you fixed, then you experience something. That's what meditation is. It's to experience Krishna, the form of the name. You don't experience someone unless you focus your consciousness on them. And when he gave that, you know, it really, he's a very powerful person. Those of you know Vaisheshika Prabhu. He's a very, very powerful person. And he said, where your attention goes, your energy flows. So when he said that, you know, it really made me mindful. You know, here in the Bhakti Center, I've been vigilant to attend the full morning program, which I haven't done over the years, mainly because I have so much writing and preparation. I use those. But I didn't really have so much to prepare, so I just thought this, you know, Prabhupada wanted, you know, attend the programs. But what does it mean, attend the programs? It means to put your consciousness there, to direct your consciousness there. And then you get benefit of it. If you look at the deities and you put your consciousness there, then the object will flow into your heart. The same thing with the holy name. Same thing with the prayers. It'll change your heart when you're attentive to their meaning. Same thing with your relationships. You want to develop relationships? Be attentive to what other people say. I mean, the Bhagavatam says, better a moment of full consciousness than a life of distracted consciousness. And therefore, spiritual advancement is not the power of time, but the power of focus. Even in, and if someone does that, what they can accomplish in a day is amazing. How much time is wasted because we are not attentive and therefore don't have control over our free will? And the whole spiritual path is based on this attention. Sri Krishna Bhakti Bhavato Mati. What is Krishna consciousness? Mati. Where your mind is focused. Sri Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavato. Focus in a mood of your relationship with Krishna. Very, you know, very powerful point he made. You don't like your life, then change the content of what you put in your mind. Just change the content by focusing attentively. You know, the most important thing in my spiritual life is definitely my job in the morning. To make that effort to concentrate and to be healthy to concentrate, to be alert to concentrate, to have the right attitude during my day to concentrate the next morning. So, this is basically, I summed up his class. I do have to meet someone in a minute, and I can stop if there are any questions. Are people still on?
Hi, Bo. Haribol Maharaj. Shaitanya.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Thank you.
Oh, very
Hi, Bo, Gail.
Hi, Krishna.
Okay. Any questions, Gail?
Good. It was a really wonderful class, though. Really wonderful. Thank you.
It's by Sheshika Prabhu's mercy. What a soul. Anybody else like to say hello?
Merry Christmas, Christmas, Guru Maharaj.
And happy Father's Day. Tota Gopinath here.
Hey! Thank you. Good. Okay, who else say hello?
Lee. Hi, Krishna Maharaj, it's Priya.
Priya, Hare Krishna. Good. Good. Important Hare instructions Krishna today.
Oh,
Janine?
Yes, Hare Bo.
Okay. Hare Bo. Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to head out today. Okay, Hare Bo. Bunch of culpa, Drew Visekapis, and the baby.